Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to the Baradine Pod, part of the 1012 Podcast Network, in partnership with Sports Social Podcast Network. I'm Matt Workman, joined by my co-host and friend, Joe Goodman. Joe, this is episode 150 of the Baradine. Imagine that.
150 of these damn things. I didn't think when you asked me to come on the first one, and you did it so elegantly when you DM'd me and said, I have a podcast that no one listens to.
That's right.
Would you like to come on? Like, it was supposed to be a one-time thing, I think. And then, like, after we got done recording, you're like, hey, do you want to do this every week?
Yeah, you want to do this every week?
Yeah, I remember walking away from the first time we recorded. And I want to say, like, I had done a random podcast with Travis Clones, the Iowa State fan, one of my buddies.
Yeah.
And it got put on a site called the Tailgate Society, I think is where that one landed. And we just did like a conversation about realignment. And I think it was pre Texas Oklahoma news when I did that one. And then I want to say like I did like one random one. I think a random Baylor one. And then you asked me to do this one. And my wife was like, why are you getting asked to do podcasts? And I was like, because I spend way too much time on Twitter ever since COVID started. And I walked away after our first one. And I was like, yeah. She was like, oh, did you have fun? And I was like, yeah. I was like, I think we're just going to like keep doing it. And she was like, you're going to do like a podcast every week? You're going to be one of those guys? And I was like, yeah, apparently so. I am one of those dudes.
But yeah, to me, it was like, you were just like, you know what? I don't have like an outlet. You know, at the time, like I lived away from like
you were in Louisiana.
I was in Louisiana, and like I have two daughters. It's like I really have an outlet to talk about sports. So this is like just like, and we talked about this. This is like you get with your buddy, and you're just talking about sports for like an hour a week. So you know, it was one of those things where just like,
yeah, it's friend time.
It's friend time. We just go in, and we're not really trying to like. Or at the time, at least, we weren't like, well, really, we're going to start, like, build this thing up. And, like, you know, we're just like, well, we're just going to, if no one listens, we're still going to do it. You know, we're still going to have, like, a Zoom meeting and talk about whatever's going on in Baylor sports or whatever we want to talk about.
Especially when we started, because we were, like, good at everything.
Yeah, just won a national championship going into, like, 21 season, which I guess at that time... They're really because so like it was, yeah. You're coming out of a 2-7 COVID year for football,
yes.
To go like 12-2, and like win the Big 12, win the Sugar Bowl, all that stuff. Like, yeah, it was like no one saw that coming, and so like yeah, it was fun, and then it's been a little bit bumpy since then. As far as football goes, basketball has been consistently good. I mean, haven't made it back. Yeah, to
consistently
the Final Four,
good, but I think disappointing.
Yeah, because like you think because
we haven't left the first weekend since we won that.
Yeah, no, we've been like first, or I guess mostly it's been like second round losses, but regular season has been consistently good, right? I mean, like since then it's been We've made the, I mean, we're not sweating making the tournament. We're talking like we're single digit seeds every year.
Oh, it, which is a crazy thing because I can remember 2008 and sitting there being like, oh my God, are we going to get in? Like,
Yeah.
is it, you know, like, so yeah, I honestly can't believe we've done this 150 times. It doesn't feel like that many, but then I'm like, okay, I guess it has been about
It's
3
been
years.
wild. If you think about like we did an episode last year from like or like, yeah, it was last year from like the Big 12 media days, and like we were sitting next to like real journalists, like these two
Yeah,
like jabronis.
I refer to myself as a cosplay journalist.
Yeah,
I cosplay as a journalist.
well, exactly, like there's
There was a
no
time at
reason.
do you, did were you there at the tailgate this year where there was I don't remember the person's name. I didn't know them. They were there as a guest of someone else, and I don't mean that as in like you got to know somebody. Come to our tailgate, have fun. But this person came with another dude, and we were just like chatting, and I was about to go into the game, and he said, "Where are you sitting?" And I said, "Oh, I'm up in the press box." And he goes, "Oh, are you a writer? Oh, you're a writer." And I was like, "No, I'm not. I'm not." And some other person was like, "Yeah, he does for ODB, and he has a podcast." And he's like, "Oh, you're a journalist?" And I was like, "I'm please, please, no. I just for some reason they approve my media request."
I don't know. I'm the same way. Sometimes I'm like, you're sitting in the press box and you see like people you watch on TV walk by you, and you're like,
Yeah.
this is like
Oh,
surreal.
there have been plenty of times where you and I have been like, dude, that's she's
And I
so
was like,
cool.
oh my God, it's like Pete
That's
Thamel's over there. Like we were at Big 12 Media Day. It was like, oh my God, it's Pete Thamel over there.
right. Heather Dinich asked us for directions off the elevator.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. We talked to Andre Ware a little bit.
Yeah, had a good conversation.
Like, it's pretty cool.
Won't be
It's
doing that
pretty cool.
this year because it's in Vegas.
I
So,
mean, like we can. I'm think. I think we got to look. We got to see if we can figure out a way to do it.
yeah, I was watching. I was reading like the conversation on the Discord about that. And
Yeah, I know
they're like,
on the
no one.
ODB Discord.
They're
Yeah.
like, yeah, no one's gonna go because it's in Vegas. And most of,
Yeah.
and to me, my mind is like, well, man, that's like. They go to Vegas.
I think.
I've never been to Vegas, so to me it's like, yeah,
I
I
think
definitely
the new joiners from the pack, I think they'll all,
they'll
I think
definitely,
they will be
yeah.
well represented because it's their first one and it's
And
in Vegas.
it's their side of the country.
Correct. And I think the people that go that have already been traveling to Dallas for like, you know, for like Cyclone Fanatic for Iowa State, right? I think
Yeah.
Chris Williams, right? He was there. Like if he's willing to fly to Dallas, of course he's going to go to Vegas. Like, why wouldn't you? And like the guys that,
Well, you'll
you
have
know,
the
if there's
big
like a
like the media for the university type guys. You know, like
right.
the beat guys. I
Or
think
the
you'll have those guys.
365 level media and above, right? And
The big,
what
yeah.
you're not going to see is, like I said, the cosplay journos. Like you're not going to see, it's unlikely. I'm not going to close the door on it yet, but it's unlikely you and I will be there. Or
Yeah.
like Gamblin' Gauchos was there. And I know you remember this. Like it felt like there were six, you know, random media groups that were there for OU, which I know
Yeah.
OU won't be there anyway, but it would have been easy to go from Norman to Dallas. That's just a drive. And you know, there was like the equivalent of the ODBs, you know, and the 247s and you know, maybe even below that, like random blog sites that were there that covered OU. So I think that's what you're gonna see less of. But I will be intrigued to see like who from the major media goes. It sounds like that may not be that great from the conversation that we had
Well,
in
I
the
think it's
ODB
also
Discord.
like, isn't it around the same time as like the SEC Media Day? Like, it's very close.
Yeah, it might be the week after, I want to say.
Okay.
Well, I think that's the case. It's either the week before, it was the week before last year.
Well, yeah. And the thing is, like, you don't have the big, like, always there's a presence because you have like the Texas and OUs who were in the Big 12. Yeah. You're not going to have that coverage.
But
So
at any
it'll be
rate,
different.
like we've gotten to do cool stuff like that just because we're two complete idiots that don't know what
Yeah.
they're talking about, but we
They do like,
spent $50 on recording equipment
and
and
do very little prep. And we just go on to like, before,
it's
like,
been a fun ride. It's
what am I talking
been
about?
fun.
Yeah. It's been fun. And we got a fun conversation with Shehan Jeyaraja and Matt Wilson. He's going to join us in a little bit. But
Matt is bear.
Matt is bear. And yeah, talk about mostly college football and we sprinkle a little bit of basketball in there, but mostly it's college football on a grand scale. But we thought we'd bring on some guys and for our 150th episode, do something a little different. There's really not a lot going on really that we could talk about anyway. So we got them on to kind of have like a conversation. So let's just go ahead and get to those guys. And then we'll be back after that.
All right, go ahead and cut in your ad.
So you want me to do right here?
Yeah, just say, and before we get to that conversation, let me tell you about Charlie House. Start with that.
All right, let me. All right, and before we jump over to that, let's go ahead and, as always, this podcast is brought to you by our friends at Charlie Hustle Clothing Company. Charlie Hustle is a vintage-inspired clothing company based out of Kansas City that specializes in collegiate and hometown apparel. Charlie Hustle wants you to be the best-dressed fan this season. So be sure to check out their wide selection of officially licensed collegiate apparel and show off your school spirit all season long. With over 30 schools to choose from, they've got you covered with all your collegiate apparel needs. So shop today at charliehustle.com. That's Charlie Hustle, vintage made fresh. And make sure you use promo code 101215, which is good for 15% off all non-sale items. That's TEN1215 for 15% off those non-sale items.
You know what the people need to go on and buy, Matt?
What's that?
The University of Missouri, Kansas City, UMKC, yeah. Ruse, have some of the best stuff you will see on there. Like UMKC Ruse. They have one shirt where it's like, it's a Heather Gray and it says UMKC with a year and it just says think marsupial and it has a picture of a kangaroo on it. And then there's one that it's like a cartoon kangaroo and it says UMKC Kangies. But my favorite is just like, there's literally, they have a shirt that's a king, like it looks like a 1960s cartoon of a kangaroo wearing boxing gloves and bouncing a basketball.
It's great.
Yeah.
Most of their KC stuff is just like top notch.
Dude, it's so good. I might buy one of these.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18
plus. All right. We are now joined by two special guests. We have national college football writer for CBS Sports, Shehan Jeyaraja, and managing editor of Our Daily Bears and co-host of Between Two Bears, Matt Wilson. Fellas, thanks for jumping on.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
You go first.
Okay, I'll go first. I already went. You're too late now.
Ah, damn. That's typical. What's going on, guys?
Not much.
I'm just drinking water.
Are we 150 episodes?
That's, I don't know how. Well, I don't know how.
It's like it's 150 with me and Joe. Like there's probably a few that I did that no one listened to.
That still counts.
Have y'all heard the story of how I started doing this?
I don't know that I have.
Matt and I had never met in person. Mm-hmm. We had never spoken outside of Twitter replies. And he DM'd me and said, I have a podcast no one listens to. Would you like to come on?
There it is.
Yeah.
What a salesman.
Yeah.
And I was sure. You under-promise and over-deliver. So that's how you
there
do
you go. There you go.
Yeah, it's the best. But somehow we have kept this going, even though we started it like right before the 2021 football season. And we got to ride that high. And then it's just been downhill ever since.
Well, it's been like right after a college basketball national championship, right before Big 12 Sugar Bowl. So it's like we were right in the sweet spot. And then from that point on, it's It's been rough going.
I think they call that entrapment.
Yeah, that's exactly what they should call it.
But yeah, like a lot of things have changed in that time. Like not just like with Baylor football or Baylor basketball, but like the general landscape of college sports is like wildly different today than it was when we first started doing this. And I think, Matt, one of our first episodes was probably about Texas and Oklahoma leaving. I think it was around that time, like a round table.
Yeah, because I think that was probably that summer of 21, right? Whenever that was, that story broke. Yeah. So yeah, it was right after we started.
Yeah, it was at SEC summer. Media Days.
Yeah. So like, yeah, we did that roundtable with a bunch of different folks. Philip and everyone jumped on, and we didn't know what was going to happen at that point. And now we've added, or the Big 12 has added like 8 additional teams. So it's a completely different landscape. College football playoff has expanded. And I think we should start, since we have Shehan here, just talk about the Big 12 going into this brand new world, and really college football as a whole, as the massive shift that happened, that's really taken effect this season with all the changes and the Pac-12 basically going away. What are you looking forward to, or what is your outlook on this new landscape of college football?
Well, I think there are pros and cons, certainly. The cons are pretty obvious. You lose geography, you lose a Pacific-based conference. I think that's really bad for the sport. It's concerning when you talk about interest long-term. You know, from the Big 12, you're losing Texas and Oklahoma to historic rivals for a lot of schools. But there is a lot of good, I think, as well. You know, you mentioned the expanded college football playoff. This is going to be an opportunity for new teams to have an opportunity to make the field, whether it is through auto bids. You know, a Big 12 team is essentially guaranteed a spot every single year, whether it's through Group of Five representation in the playoff. And I think the other piece, too, is that we have such assumption that the top teams are completely unbeatable. And in the 4-team playoff, that has largely been the case. But in some ways, when you look back at it, the way that the 4-team playoff has worked has actually been antithetical to actually figuring that out, because you just have to win one game and you're in the national title game. If you're Georgia, if you're Alabama, etc. What I'm most excited for with this new system, well, one is bringing back the incentive of conference championships. I think that that's a great thing for the sport. The fact that you get tangible reward for winning your conference, which to me is still like the first goal that you have as a football program. But the other piece that I like too is I go back to a team like, you know, let's say 2022 Alabama, which is a team that was great, certainly, but was flawed at the same time. And they match up obviously with Kansas State and the Sugar Bowl and look great, but it's going to be powerful for the sport to see Alabama lose in the playoff, to see Ohio State lose in the playoff when they have a down year, to see Georgia lose. Now, again, like, we've seen this happen before, right? We saw Texas beat Georgia in 2018 when Georgia didn't have their best team. But I think it's going to be power in its own way to say, hey, look, maybe this one year, Baylor or TCU or one of these other teams is able to compete with some of these mid-tier superpower type teams.
Well, and not TCU if winning a conference championship is involved, but please.
No, or winning in the national title game. Certainly that's not going to be a factor for them. But I do think we have been in a world where the superpowers are insulated from actually being exposed in some ways when they have down years. And now you're going to head into a playoff era. We see this with college basketball. It's a different sport. I don't want to make the comparison too much, but where, hey, the one seed isn't that good this year. And so they get upset by the 9 seed. And it kind of lets the sport know. It lets people know that, hey, this is a sport where at least on a good day, maybe you have a chance. Maybe, you know, if you're a recruit and you're looking and you're watching the playoff and you see Ole Miss beat Ohio State in the second round, maybe you think just a little bit differently. Oh, okay, maybe I can go there and also have a successful career or also be able to play on a big stage. So I think that there will be a lot of fundamental shifts with the college football playoff and the way that that works. I think certainly the anvil hanging over everyone's head, if you want to call it that, is the stratification financially of the sport, with, you know, the Big Ten and SEC formally getting more money from the playoff, getting so much more money than everybody else in television contracts. But it's not something you have to worry about day to day until that comes about.
I wonder if this also, like, another positive that comes out of this is right now in the NIL era, I hear a lot of people talking about worry that there's going to be even more consolidation of, like, blue chip recruits at the standard power schools that we see today. That already kind of happens, but there's definitely worry that a Baylor, for example, or a TCU or a Texas Tech isn't going to be able to compete because they're just not going to be able to pay the money. But if you're a kid and say Alabama's already got quarterbacks on their roster and they don't have a spot for you, they're not offering you a scholarship, but Ole Miss is and TCU is, you might say, you know what, I'm going to go to TCU and play there because my path to the playoff is actually easier there. Because they could go win the Big 12 much easier than an Ole Miss can go compete in the SEC West or whatever the pod that they're in is. So I'm interested to see the long-term impact on recruiting to this too, and to see if it actually kind of levels the playing field for maybe even some of the Group of Five schools that are well-known and have great facilities, because their path to the playoff might actually be easier. And if you're a kid that wants to win more than anything else, maybe you go do that. So you get that shot, like you're talking about, on your best day, you can go play Alabama in the playoff. And if you beat them, then you're glory forever.
Not and even think, win, just get playing time. I mean,
yeah, just get playing time for sure.
Why play quarterback behind an Alabama running back who's playing quarterback when you could go play somewhere else? I think that is all baked into Shahan's point. And you don't have the parity that you would want with the 12-team playoff without the roster parity that I think will eventually even out. But please continue.
Well, and what I was going to say is, if you are a non-Power 2 program, I think what you have to do is you need to sit down and evaluate what your best pathway to building championship caliber teams is.
Make a budget.
And yes, make a budget is definitely a big part of it. Prioritize the budget, use NIL for retention, I think is going to be a huge part of this, more than just trying to make some big swings. Like we've seen programs like maybe one up in Boulder, Colorado, try to take big swings and try to fix it that way. But that only goes so far when you kind of get one or two big time players, as opposed to keeping folks around. The other piece that I'll mention, though, that I think is actually really significant is you have the ability to essentially catch players on the way down much easier than just winning one-on-one recruiting battles at a high school. So a great example of this is, I mean, Sawyer Robertson was a top 150 national recruit, right? Like, he ended up picking Mississippi State. When he transfers, Baylor comes on in. And not only have they been able to keep him, they've been able to keep him even though he's projected to be the backup this year. So maybe in 2025. He's the starting quarterback. This is a type of player that would have been a huge recruiting win for Baylor if they had landed him out of high school. And it's just easier to do when he's going to a second school. And I think that when you look across the, you know, Apu Ika is another great example of this, of course, coming from LSU. There's so many examples of players who just need a little bit of time and development to become great players. And I think that we're going to see, especially in the SEC, somewhat in the Big Ten as well, there will be no patience. There's going to be this idea that if you're not ready to play right away, or if you're not a transfer who's going to come in and help us right away, then get out. What are you doing here? The Big 12 and the ACC and whatever other program, those are our developmental leagues. And from a Baylor Big 12 ACC perspective, well, one, you get those players, you build them up, you try to win, and two, then you try to use your resources to retain and keep them in good situations. That's your pathway. You have the ability to gain access to a level of talent that you wouldn't have been able to before, just because there's going to be so much desire for instant gratification in the SEC especially. I mean, if you're a Big 12 team, you better be taking advantage of it.
Yeah, I think you're already seeing that, because let's look at the transfer portal since it opened yesterday. It's like you see a lot of those SEC Texas players, you know, or going to SEC or other players who are jumping in the portal because whatever the situation is, like you're talking about, like on the way down. Also, I think like what Joe was talking about with like NIL, like you think about like a player like Daquan Finn, who like there's really no reason he should be at Baylor. He's like, he played at the Midwest. I mean, he had teams like Wisconsin, even like Michigan wanting to like get him on their roster. And I think, you know, from what we've heard, just rumors wise, like he got enough of an NIL incentive to move to like Waco, Texas to try to become a starting quarterback at Baylor. And you'll see a little bit of that evening out of the playing field with players like that as well, with NIL becoming just more and more of a big player within the college athletics. What do you think about the, and this is a new topic, about the change with the transfer rule that was kind of like announced today, which is pretty much just a formality that it'll be ratified tomorrow with the immediate eligibility as long as you're in good standing academically?
It was an attempt to not continue to get sued. That's the whole thing. That's all there is to it. Last year, they tried to enforce, of course, the 1 year sit out of Naquan Tomlin over. Did I have that right? No, Raekwon Battle.
Yeah, it was multiple cases in basketball.
Naquan Tomlin was the Kansas Coast, State East player Coast, who had his whole thing. But Raekwon Battle, that's the West Virginia player. And he was forced to sit out that season because of transfer. He was on his third transfer. He sues. He ends up getting an injunction in court. And the NCAA is basically just like, we can't deal with that right now, man. This is not something that we want or need on our plate right now. So that's all it is to me. I mean, I think, do I think it's a good thing? I mean, there's a lot of things that it's almost hard to ask, is it a good or a bad thing? Because it just is reality, right? Like, I think ultimately we are in a period of, you know, people use the words the Wild West, and there's a lot of truth to that. There's no rules, there's no guidelines, there's no precedent at this point. And I do think, like the Wild West, eventually rules will come through some means, whether it's through the NCAA, through Congress, through the playoff, one of these things. But, you know, for right now, I think it's kind of like, again, it's the Wild West. And I think that it makes sense for any players on campus right now to try to take their fill.
Yeah, I think you won't see, because of that, you probably won't see, like, for instance, whereas right now at Baylor, there's a quarterback, presumably a quarterback battle going on. I'd firmly believe you're not going to see a quarterback named.
Well, let's spring. Hold on. Time out. Quarterback battle. This is marketing. Spring ball is just storytelling. And that's fine. It is what it is. That's what it's for. It's storytelling. Sawyer Robertson is taking a massive step forward, and Daquan Finn is just as talented as we thought they were. Two options. And also, I've already forgotten the Northern Arizona kid's name, who I love a
RJ
lot.
RJ Martinez.
I think he's awesome, by the way. I think he's I would love to see him play football. But like, even there's even people doing bits about him being a viable option. It's just, it's marketing. I can't do the quarterback battle. Who's going to win? I can't do it until August. I truly can't. Week two I'm really invested, but that's about it.
Even act like week two. You're going to say week two up until.
Oh, I'll be mad. August, second quarter.
And then it's going to be week one. You're going to be.
Yeah, I'll be mad. Second quarter, week one. That's fine. Anyway, I'm sorry. I did not mean to interrupt. I just wanted to make sure that everybody understood. Yes, there people are talking about a quarterback battle. They're talking about.
But you don't. You can see where, like we were just talking about, Sawyer Robertson came from a system in high school that he's kind of built for. That's why he went to Mississippi State. And Baylor's kind of gone back to a similar system to where he may be able to thrive and just be able to, you know, be acclimated to it a lot quicker just based on the previous offense he was in that Baylor was running. So it's not out of the realm of possibility.
So I think the other piece of this too is no one knows better what the state of a battle is than the guys who are in the room. Like Sawyer Robertson, he'll know if Daquan Finn is going to beat him out. Mm-hmm. But also the other piece of this is Sawyer Robertson didn't transfer when Daquan Finn came in, right? Like he understood, yeah, I'm probably not going to be the starting quarterback. They've made a sizable investment in trying to recruit over me. And yet I still decided to come back. So I think that from that perspective, like that in itself is pretty promising. And I think the other piece though, too, is like Sawyer should be the future of the room one way or another. Like, I think, like you said, I obviously, you know, Adam Schoble's coming in. We'll see whether they go back to the portal. Obviously, we'll see whether they can long-term keep Adam Schoble too. He's getting come after a whole lot. But, you know, I think that certainly you want to hear positive stuff about him. But the reality is, unless there is as definitive of a case as like Blake Shapen winning the job out of camp over Gary Bohannon, like, it's still very early, and it's worth remembering too. There's a new offensive staff. There's a new quarterbacks coach. So I don't even know that they know exactly what they want from these guys.
I think I think I agree with you though. I think they like have an idea already. Like,
yeah,
they at least know who they want to be one. Yeah. And then I guess it's not out of the realm of possibility for somebody to come and take that, but that's so like when the year after Nick Florence got his, first season of starting, the year that Robert Griffin tore his ACL, right? Nick looked pretty good. And the following fall, I had English with Cyril Richardson, who played line at Baylor, and he sat right behind me. And the season hadn't quite started yet, and there was the same kind of conversations that were going on back then. It was just like, hey, guys, maybe Nick Florence is actually the right quarterback for Baylor and not Robert Griffin. And I asked Cyril Richardson in class, I said, is it going to be Griffin or Florence? Like, is there anything like to this? He didn't respond. He just gave me like a face that was just like, like, he was like the most like, are you serious?
I can imagine Cyril making right that now. Kind of
goes,
face.
Yes. He goes, yes. Rob. Like, and it was just, it's the, like the guys that are on the team know, like they're there every day in practice for sure. I'm just imagining back now to the like the different history of Baylor. For some reason we had Nick Florence and instead of Griffin after that injury. Fun fact, Nick's family wore go with the flow shirts when they went to the games. Spelled FLO, of course, no W.
Oh yeah, okay. I think that the real obviously the real what if is what if Nick Florence had been able to be a quarterback of that 2013 team because the red shirt rule would have been different back
then.
Oh,
if he had gotten the extra year.
If he had gotten the extra year. Oh man. Now again, they won two Big 12 titles. I don't want to like overstate, but Nick was so good, man. Nick was real, real good.
Dude, he was. Yeah. Yeah, he was. I love me some Bryce Petty. Don't get me wrong. Bryce Petty has a special place in my heart, mostly because of those Big 12 titles. But
I'll tell you what, though. Was 2013 the year that Bryce Petty like tripped going into the end zone,
dude,
in Oklahoma State?
The second time today I've had to listen about this thing because the shutdown forecast went into this in detail. And I listened to that first.
I'm just saying, like, Nick Florence doesn't trip. That's all I'm saying.
I'm putting the kibosh on this conversation. We're not talking about the turf monster. We're moving on to something else.
Yeah, no Stillwater or Lubbock at night talk.
All right, so I'm going to steal a bit from the – I want to steal a bit from the Split Zone Duo. They were talking about, I guess, a couple episodes back about the, like, coaches on the hot seat. And who would be the first coach fired? And they had kind of like a list of coaches. So, Shayon, who do you think is the first coach that's going to get fired in this new landscape?
Can't believe you're asking me this on a Baylor podcast. Do you really want to hear the answer to this question? No, I don't actually think. I don't actually think it's going to be.
Well, they didn't talk about – I mean, they listed Dave Aranda. He's like well, – and they didn't even – he didn't even come up in the conversation.
Yeah. I think that if he's let go, it's going to be after the season, just to like go ahead and get that out there. But I think that when you talk about first coach fired, I mean, what is going on at Arkansas, man? What is going on over there?
That's a wild, whole scenario.
It just feels all bad right now. And you bring in Bobby Petrino to come run your offense. They bring a transfer from Boise State who I think Taylen Green's pretty good, but he's worse than KJ Jefferson, certainly. They bring in Jaquindon Jackson, who's pretty good, but is also probably worse than Rocket Sanders at running back. Like, I just don't know what the plan is here. And the other part that you have to hate about this is if you're Arkansas, they have multiple games where you just feel real bad if you lose them. Oklahoma State in week two, I think that if they go on the road and lose to Oklahoma State, they feel pretty bad. I expect them to do it. They go to Auburn in week four, and Auburn is like, I think that that's like a game where if they lose that game and it doesn't look good, that might be it. Because you could be staring down the barrel of 2-4 heading into the bye week, and that might just be the whole thing. I just don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that he should have been fired last year, but like, I just don't really know what he can even do. Like, what is the successful season for Sam Pittman at this point? I mean, I guess it's probably making a bowl, which feels like an almost impossible thing to do with the schedule that they have. So I don't know. I feel real bad about it. They end the year 2 versus Texas. Louisiana Tech, which they should win, and at Missouri. And not if, but when they go 1-2 in those last three games, like, it's just going to feel real bad, man. It's just going to feel real bad. So Sam Pittman is my answer for first coach fired.
That would give him time to go star in like a Tommy Boy remake as Tommy Callahan's dad. He could be a ringer for Brian Dennehy to replace if we remade that movie. That's what that's the only thing I think about when I see Pittman.
You made all great points about Sam Pittman. The question is, we are at a turning point for Arkansas. We don't know if they want to be a football school or, with their newest hire, a basketball school.
Oh God, please give me like the 2.0 version Pittman of Calipari arguing with his football coach.
We need a bare knuckle boxing match between the two is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, but wouldn't you rather see like a Petrino Calipari like matchup?
I don't want to see it. No, I don't want to see anything of
Petrino. Not at all. Nope. Not at all, in fact.
Well, the coach that I'm more concerned about is like Billy Napier. Like, Florida's schedule is brutal. And like, I just don't know
Even if it wasn't, I'm not sure it would matter. It discombobulated, it feels like they have talent, but it just feels discombobulated. I think the 24 coaching cycle is going to be maybe not as many big names as there have been in the past years, but like, you have a Tony Elliott at Virginia. You have a whole bunch of these mid-tier schools that think they have the ability to jump up. Maybe they do. I think a lot of schools are going to realize that, like Shayon said, there's not a lot of patience even for the coaches.
Yeah, and I think Napier certainly is somebody that I'm keeping a very close eye on. The trump card that he has in the short term is that he has the ability to throw in DJ Lagway. Like, he has one get out of jail free card. And I think, you know, again, you look at when their bye is, it's African. Oh God, it's heading into Georgia. That's not good.
Yeah.
That's not what you're going to throw.
I was waiting for you. I was hoping you'd bring up the schedule.
But it's real bad. It's real bad. I think the thing is, if you fire him, your last stretch, I want to read these last five games to you because they are so bad. Versus Georgia, at Texas, versus LSU, versus Ole Miss, at Florida State.
There's maybe a win there. Maybe.
Where is the win? I don't see
win. It's just like a stupid college football thing happens. Like, that's it.
If they lose to Tennessee, well, actually, that's not even
true. Maybe LSU? Like, maybe LSU's beatable there?
I mean, they are at home for that one at least, but I don't know. It's going to be bad.
Think about this, though. You brought up Lagway. Imagine the legend that would be born if they did do that and he beat Georgia.
Yeah, no, that would be true. See, I thought they were going to make a comment about what if he came back and transferred to Baylor. That's just what I assumed when he started talking about Lagway.
That's what I thought, too. Okay. They fire Napier.
Yes, that's just what I assumed.
How about this? They fired Napier. Baylor moves on. Baylor hires Napier. Lagway comes to Baylor.
Is that really how you want this to go?
No, not at all.
Is that really?
It's just, but you talked about their last five games. Their first five isn't a cakewalk when you have, you open it with a rival at Miami, you have Stanford, Texas A&M, Mississippi State, and then for some reason you scheduled like UCF.
No, they scheduled three in-state programs in the non-conference, yeah. Florida State, Miami, and UCF. And the thing is, if they lose any of those games, that's like a hair on fire disaster. And they could lose all of those games. And yeah. Then they have to play one of the hardest conference schedules in the SEC as well. Again, I think that he's also a make it through the season kind of firing. I don't think that he's going to be a fired after week four as much as like a Pittman, but also part of this will just be contract situation. Oh. It'll be willingness. And I mean, it's just,
imagine the Florida fan base if he's 1-5.
Yeah.
Going into that back.
I mean, that's obviously fired. That's obviously fired. I think if they lose to both Miami and UCF, I think that that's it, but I don't think that they will.
But have you considered that nobody has trademarked any kind of like apparel for DJ Swagway? Have you thought about that? There is like a scooter company that's called Swagway, but I don't think that would be a legal problem for us.
I
know what a Segway is.
I think I'm saying Swagway right now.
It's just something to think about. It's just something to think about.
Maybe we can call Alliance Bank and see if they can fund some claiming of Swagway copyrights.
There you go.
Because so that would be pure name and image likeness. That's the way to do it right there.
Bingo.
Now I know both of you guys have families, so we can't keep you forever. There's one burning question that I have, and it's something like Matt and I talk about a lot just offhand. And that is, what does the college football landscape, or even college athletics in general, but I think college football being the epicenter of all of it, what's the landscape look like in 10 years? Like, what? Because it looks so different today than it did in 2014.
Yeah.
And we thought it looked different in 2014. So from both of you guys, like, what do you think 10 years looks like? Is it the Super League? Is it a major league with the SEC and Big Ten and we're all out? Is it something different?
Well, I'll start with one part real quick, and then I'll let the smart person say smart person things. This is less of a question of what we think will happen and more of a question of how long will the legal process take? Will it take less than or greater than 10 years? Because we are absolutely headed towards employee status, in my opinion, for athletes. In my opinion, it will be very similar to taking like a job that I took at Moody Library for a while, or at the Slick, and you have an employment status for the university. Maybe it would be for the athletic department specifically, I don't know, but that is the direction we're headed. In terms of the greater scheme of things, that specifically falls under the shit if I know category, so I'm going to pass it off.
Yeah, well, I think part of this is in, well, a lot of this is in the hands of ESPN, because ESPN, I believe, has an out of their ACC deal in 2027, I believe it is. And if they choose to take that, then sort of all bets are kind of off. I do think that at this moment, that we are more in, I think we're closer to the end game right now, potentially, than people realize. In terms of that, I think that this is long-term sort of what it looks like. It's mostly two giant leagues who do what they want. It's mostly some teams in the middle that are still able to put together really competitive teams and still, you know, be a part of the system. And then I think that, you know, we've started to see some of the group of five almost phased out. I think that I would think of it less as there's going to be 32 who break off. I think that at one point I thought that might be the case, which I think is a terrible idea. I mean, the reality is that is creating a worse NFL. Like, I don't know why you would do that. Why would you make the Dallas Cowboys and instead make them a small school in Tuscaloosa? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. But I think that long term, it's going to be more about stratification. Think about it again, like something like the Premier League, where there are six teams that everybody acknowledges are just different. and everybody else is kind of competing for nice stuff in the middle. And that could be playoff spots, that could be playoff wins, depending on the conference, depending on the program. But I do think that long-term, that is going to be a big piece of it. I personally, and look, in 10 years, maybe this will look dumb, but again, I don't think that we're going to reach a, at least very soon, a point of there's 20, 25, 30 of us, because I just think that a big piece of this is once you have that group of 25, then there are stratifications within that. Mm-hmm. And if you are actually one great example of this that I'm fascinated to see over the next 5 years is in the SEC. If you're Florida, you were one of the greatest programs in the country in the 90s and 2000s. You were like top five at worst. Well, all of a sudden now you might be like the ninth best team year in and year out in the SEC. Like, are you happy with that? Is that a reality that you're comfortable with? You know, because one thing that we talk about is in the NFL, the reason you're able to have franchises in Buffalo and Green Bay is because the Dallas Cowboys are revenue sharing with you. Like, that's why this model works. If you don't go about doing that, then this isn't going to work. And all of a sudden, Oklahoma, who's been able to beat up on, you know, the Big 8 and then move over to the Big 12, is going to end up in a position where they are poorer than half of their conference. And long term, can they maintain their brand if they're able to do that? I think that there's going to be a desire to have enough teams involved, enough people involved, that long term, there are at least some teams to beat if you're a big brand. And not just necessarily shutting the door and trying to, I guess, move forward with only merits.
I got to step in here and say, I'm so proud of you. You are already sounding like a tenured dad. The way that you approached the Florida program and said, well, are you happy with the way that turned out? You like that? Is that good? Was that what you were expecting? Buddy?
What do you think is going to happen when you held the croissant in front of the dog's face?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no. Are you saying that Brent Venables didn't fix everything?
get their ass. Get them. Learn them.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. I thought the Premier League example is intriguing to me because you're correct. Like, the West Ham Uniteds of the world.
Nobody understands that.
Right? Matt loves
the Conference League last year, right? So that's like the third year
Supreme in the Mosoka era.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, in it, bruv. But, you know, like West Ham, for example, they finished sixth. They're crazy stoked. Like, they're like, oh my God, we're top half of the table, right? The difference, though, is that they still get to play, like, they're in London. They still get to play Chelsea, Tottenham, and Arsenal every year, like, as long as they don't get relegated. But they still get to maintain those rivalries, which is what they get up about. So, like, if you're a West Ham or an Everton fan, Everton is, I think, a great example. Even if you know you're never going to win the league, there's still the chance you might get to beat Liverpool. And now, as, like, a Baylor fan, I don't get the opportunity to beat Texas or A&M. I don't get a chance to beat Oklahoma, which I know isn't a historic rival, but I didn't start rooting for Baylor until 2006. So for me, it's all I've known as a Baylor fan. So I think you're right, but there's a bit of the soul that's still kind of lost in all this.
Yeah, I think that that's definitely the case. And it's, I mean, look, for me, I said through this whole thing back in 2021, granted, I don't fully just have like the fan hat on. I can acknowledge that I'm not talking like the, you know, maybe average Baylor fan, but like, to me, the most important thing to Baylor was like, just be in a league with TCU. Like, you're not going to win the national championship. That's not really the point of this, but like, right, play TCU, play Texas Tech, like, you know, Oklahoma State, obviously a school that's been around for a while. Houston coming back, I think that part is at least a positive in a lot of ways. So I definitely agree with you. And, you know, this is going to be an aspect. I think that less on the Southern front, more on the Western front, right, where you have all of a sudden, you know, all these schools, Utah isn't going to be playing in the Pac-12. Arizona schools aren't going to be playing in the Pac-12. Colorado obviously didn't have the same sort of draw, but Cal, Stanford, all these schools. I mean, I think that's going to be an existential issue, absolutely, for this sport. And I'll be curious.
What are you talking about? USC Rutgers is one of the most storied rivalries in the history of college football.
It's you know, and I think long term, I think even a great example is this. TCU and SMU played every year, but it even impacts it if these are not peer programs the same way, you know, because Oregon State and Oregon, they're still going to play. Washington and Washington State, they're still going to play. But you're talking about one in, you know, not immediately, but down the road is going to be making $75 million a year in television earnings, and one's going to be making like $3 million. It does put a huge damper on things. And so my hope is that long term we start to see some evolution from that perspective to bring back some level of geography. I think that some of that is just wishful thinking, but I think the other piece too is you mentioned it in 2006, you became a Baylor fan. And so Oklahoma was a school that you paid a lot of attention to because they were a school that was in your conference. Now, I think for people who become Baylor fans in 2027, you know, the hope is that TCU and Texas Tech and Houston and Oklahoma State are still schools that you feel kinship with. I think the Arizona schools have a lot in common with the Texas schools, even though they're a bit more of a drive. So, I mean, that's the hope. I think that, the Southern schools, I think, have done it a little bit better than the Northern schools. But that is ultimately the hope, is that they're able to build sort of these long-term relationships at least.
Matt, before we let you guys go, this is also a 10-year question. How many national championships does Baylor have in basketball and football in 10 years?
10 years.
And your time is up. The answer is 30. There's two basketball teams, one football team. 10 years for each of them. We're going to win all of them. So that's 30 national championships. That's the correct answer.
Well, I mean, if Texas keeps getting Indiana State players, I don't know who's going to challenge them. Oh my God, I don't know what we're going to do with that. I'm going to say one. Winning a national championship is hard in any sport. Football for its variety of reasons, basketball for its variety of reasons, and the tournament is made to make you not win a national championship. Like, even if you're great. So we have to see what UConn does over the next 3 or 4 years. But I think the men's team has a real shot with all the momentum they have to get back to the Final Four in the next 3 to 4 to 5 years. I would put my money on the men's program to do that. The women's program, dog, I'm not betting against South Carolina until she retires, bro. I can't do it. She's amazing. Dawn Staley, that is. So I'm going to say one, and we should be thrilled with that, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thrilled with the ones that I've seen. So
hell yeah.
Yeah.
Super fun.
Yeah, you will not. My friends and I, my close friends, we have what we call the 5-year rule when it comes to our sports teams. And if any one of our sports teams wins a championship, it's 5 years before you're allowed to complain about it to anybody. So I am still under that wing with Baylor men's basketball. I'm not allowed to complain about it.
No, I think I would also have said one. That's the answer that I kind of had in my head as well. I think that I would say that it's most likely maybe 70-30 to be men's basketball. I'm a big Nikki Collin fan. I do want to like see the jump though. Like I need to see the Final Four. I need to see like that level before I'm comfortable saying that I expect them to win one. This is a program that obviously has the ability to do it, so I'd love to kind of see that come to fruition. My like sort of little conspiracy theory is 2026 Baylor basketball. I think that you have we'll obviously see if these players still around, but you'll have a senior Langston Love. You'll have a senior Josh Ojemwuna. You'll have a second year Jason Asamoah. Like you have a second
probably
year,
a second year Rob Wright. Probably
yeah, Rob Wright. A third year Miro Little. If they're able to retain, and do they have a 25 recruit as yet? I don't know if they do, but But you just assume that they add some, you know, five-star level, just at least one. That to me is the makings of a title team. If they're able to keep it together, I was real worried that we were going to be on Langston Love transfer watch just because of some of the bad luck that he's had. It hasn't happened as yet. I'm hopeful that that remains the case because I'm really excited about him.
I'm shocked he has two more years left. Like it's
So that's my hope is that I think 2026 is the, I mean, saying the title year, I mean, look, it's hard to expect that. Basketball greatness and success is built on making Final Fours, and whatever happens after that, it just kind of happens. I think that they're back in the Final Four in 2026. And 2025 is going to be a really good team too, but I think 2026 has a chance to be a really special year.
Speaking my language, guys. Speaking my language. All right, well, Shehan, thank you so much. Plug away. Where can the people find you? They want to look up more of your stuff and how much you love Baylor and everything you do.
You can find all my work at cbsports.com. You can listen to my podcast, The College Football Survivor Show. You can follow me on every social media platform. It's just my name, Shehan J. Raja. The benefit of being named Shehan J. Raja is that nobody's really staked out trying to steal that handle from me on any platform. So Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, whole nine yards. Find me all there.
It's such nasty business to let him go first. You can just find me on the biggest national sports website that exists.
Well, it's because I needed to gas you up. Because technically, literally, you're my boss. So to the, I'm going to hand it down.
You know, I've never acted that way though.
He's a taskmaster, y'all.
Matt is bare just about anywhere that if I'm there, it's going to be Matt is bare. That includes PlayStation Network. Our dailybears.com. Go check it out. It's good stuff. Between Two Bears. Go listen to it.
By the way.
Yeah. Between Two Bears. Go look it up. It's pretty funny. Not very educational, but I'm proud of us. We actually broke news. Now it was speculation, but we broke news this week, letting everybody know before Scott Drew did what his order is at a Mexican restaurant at lunch. He said Mexican salad. Mexican salad. He confirmed it today on Twitter.com.
Not taco Mexican, salad. Mexican.
Not salad. Taco salad. Mexican salad. You know what? Nope. I'm not going to follow that any further. Check us out.
Excellent. Yeah. Gentlemen, thank you all so much, man.
Thank you all for jumping on. I'm going to be creating the account, the real Shehan J. Raj on Twitter after this. There you go.
Yeah. Pay for your blue check too.
Yeah, well, that's the other
breaking all kinds of news.
Well, gosh, this is the thing is that apparently now they're going to reveal on Twitter if you've been paying for Twitter.
I can't hide it anymore, bro. I can't. I assume you, my subscription.
I really do assume you already pay for it if you have a blue check.
I am one of the few, the proud that pays for it and hides her blue check because you get access to TweetDeck, and also I make literally tens of dollars a month off of my content. And
those coffees don't pay for themselves.
This is not great for me. This is not ideal. We're gonna have to figure out what's next with that.
Because if you transition to, you just got to transition to like Blue Sky or something, and it's like
there's like 12 people on that site, man. Like it sucks.
If millennials want to afford houses, they have to stop paying for TweetDeck.
Yes.
That's where I'll leave it.
I should probably just expense it. That's really the move. Just be like, it's for work.
Yeah. It's blue. It's a blue check. CBS is a blue company. There you go. That's marketing right there. Right here. Tell them to call me for more ideas.
All right, guys. Appreciate you guys coming on. It was fun. And we look forward to like what college football and I guess what Baylor has in store for it in 2024.
We'll see. I'm spavin' out, bro. Y'all be good. See you.
Well, that was a fun convo, Matt.
Yes. Thanks a lot for Shehan and Matt for jumping on. Shehan especially, like I had him on when I was doing it by myself, just talking about, it was a different podcast concept altogether. And he was working at Dave Campbell's at the time. And he's always gracious to come on. And now he's like CBS Sports and jumps on. He's a national college football writer for them. So it's like, very appreciate it. And Matt's always willing to chop it up. So I always appreciate when he comes on. When you were sick or out, he came in and like subbed in. So it's great to have those guys willing to come on and talk about football, sports, whatever.
The true friends of the pod.
Yep, for sure.
Well,
right now, like Matt, he's been on probably 3 or 4 times with us or me. And then I think I've had she on like 3 times. So like, they're making like Tristy's having a run for it because he was our like most recurring guest.
Yeah, we're going to have Tristy on soon because we got to let him keep his title.
Yeah.
He deserves it. He deserves it. Well, Matt, real quick, I do have to tell the people about some more of our friends. And those are our awesome sponsors through 1012 over at Prize Picks. As you know, Matt, the best legal way to play daily fantasy on player props in the state of Texas and many more across the country. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. All you have to do is select 2 to 5 players and an over-under on a projected stat line, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's fast and easy, and entries can be made in as little as 60 seconds. They offer tons of different sports. NBA is going on, playoffs starting right now. You know, you've got Major League Baseball going on. You've got soccer's in full swing. Crazy stuff over the last couple of days in the Champions League that's been going on. So you can go check that out. They got tons of different stuff for different sports. If you use promo code BEAR12, that's BEAR12, you can get an instant 100% deposit match of up to $100. That's right. Promo code BEAR12, and you can instantly get a full $100 match on your first deposit. Prize Picks is available online and in the App Store or on Google Play. So go check them out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Check out Prize Picks. I didn't do great during football season, but it's fun. Gives you a little another reason to root for the games. We have a little bit extra on it.
A little extra
incentive to like root for a team or a player.
So Matt, let's get to some more fun talk. As I ask you every week, okay, what are you watching? What are you reading? What are you listening to? You watching anything? You got anything cool you want to talk about? I have something real cool. I actually watched something, Matt.
Okay. I started watching Fallout.
Started or finished?
Started. I'm like halfway through.
Dunskies.
So like, here's the thing about me. I am not a like spoiler phobe. So like, I went... And so I know what happens in the series.
Yeah, I mean, you and I are the same in that, right? Where it's like,
but I still watch it. But I wanted to know because I knew they were all out, and I didn't want to get, you know, like accidentally spoiled. So I was like, I'm gonna go ahead and just like read the synopsis and see like where is this going. So like I know what happened, so we can pretty much talk freely. But I still want to go and watch it and see it, the art form, you know, the filmmaking of it all. So, yeah, so I'm really enjoying that. We kind of talked about it. Like, I'm a fan of, like, Walton Goggins in anything he's ever done.
Did you play the game?
I didn't know. I didn't play the game.
Okay.
I'm coming in cold.
So, I've played 3, New Vegas, 4. Yeah, those are the three that I've played.
This is, like, based on mostly 4, right, from what I understand. Or maybe the New Vegas.
Series. It's in the West. It's in the West, so that's where New Vegas is. Both 3 and 4 are on the East Coast. 3 is in Washington, D.C., and 4 is in New England, if I remember correctly. It's actually after all of them, I believe, in the timeline. It's like later than all of them, but it does such, Matt, a stellar job. Where, like, is me as a Tolkien nerd watching Rings of Power, and where they went with that story and like how it fit within to like Tolkien's world and the actual lore that's written down that exists and the stories that actually exist. It's like the polar opposite of what they did in Fallout. Like Fallout is so true to almost like the experience of the game as a player, to the story behind things in the game. Like they kind of broke canon here and there, changed some things here and there. But it was like, it's pretty much universally loved and accepted by the Fallout video game nerds, which never happens when you adapt a piece of media. The people,
I mean,
that
look at Halo.
Piece of media, look at what don't Halo, like it when it's adapted.
Like, look when Halo came out. Like, the people hated it.
Yeah.
Season one of Halo.
And it was, I think his name, Connorsaurus Rex on Twitter, one of our buddies, Connor. He and I were talking about the show, and he brought up a fact of like, that it was, I just completely lost my train of thought on what he said to me about it. But
shout out, Connor.
Anyway, yeah, shout out to Connor. It'll come back to me here in a second. But no, it was like very, very true to the lore. And it's like one of those things where, I'm surprised at the universal love that it's gotten. And now I remember, yeah, Connor brought up the fact that like Amazon is really good at adapting like ultra violent, like science fiction-y things, because they like nailed Fallout, they nailed Invincible, and they've nailed like The Boys.
The Boys,
right? So, like, yeah, like, The Boys, these kind of like ultra violent alternate universe kind of things.
Yeah.
But they completely missed the mark on high fantasy with like Rings of Power and Wheel of Time. So it's like they have, looks like Amazon has their niche, which is like this kind of world of science fictiony ultra violence.
And even some of their movies really they've done, I think have been good. Like that, I can't remember what it was. It's kind of science fictiony with Chris Pratt. I mean, I liked it when he, you know, goes like into the future and to like prevent a war or something like that.
Yeah. 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 Tomorrow War.
Tomorrow War. Yeah. So yeah. I thought it was, you know, it's entertaining and good, but yeah, you're right. Some of the more like high fantasy stuff has been like off the mark with Amazon.
Yeah, there is. I really appreciated Fallout. There's like a couple of, there's the, one of the first things that's like super relatable, right, is there's a scene where the original Knight Titus in the show, you know, he's wearing his power armor. He encounters a bear and he just starts saying, oh, fuck, 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 and runs away. And it's like, that's you playing the game. Like,
yeah,
sometimes you see a cave and you're like, I wonder if something is in. Oh, God, it's a Deathclaw, and you're running away. And then, but my absolute favorite line in the entire show is there's a scene where the character, the ghoul, is walking with Lucy and she's like, I thought we had to go another way. And he said, thou shalt get sidetracked by bullshit every damn time. And it's like, that's what Fallout is. It's like you're on a main quest and then you run into 15 side quests on your way there and you end up doing all of those. And then it's like, wow, I just spent 8 hours doing everything that wasn't the main story of this game. And so it's, it was beautifully done by people that I think understood the source material. And
that's my experience playing like Witcher 3. It was like, I did so many side missions.
Yeah, it's
and like
it's
away from like the main
story. Open world RPG.
So. Yeah, so it's like I played for hours, but like I've not completed anything.
Yeah,
I'm not in the main story.
But I'm like leveled up. And yeah, I've got badass shit. Like,
and I've made no progress.
No, but yeah, Fallout's crazy good. I put down Tokyo Vice to watch Fallout, and I somehow last week finished it over the weekend. In the first couple of days of this week, I actually pulled off me finishing an 8-episode show. So, because I haven't finished Shogun and I have not finished Shogun. Tokyo Vice. So
I've finished Shogun. I haven't finished Three Body Problem.
I haven't even started Three Body Problem.
And so I think those are the three things I'm watching. And right now it's like Fallout's the best, I think the best of the three. So like that's what I'm like focused on finishing is Fallout.
Yeah, it's real good. It's real, 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 real good.
Yeah. Anything else?
I think that's it from what I'm watching. I'm planning for a 3-year-old's birthday party this Saturday because my son turns 3.
Oh.
And so yeah, that's what I've, and I'm gonna have 24 people inside my home. So yeah.
That sounds miserable.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
Well, I got a big week. You got like a new Taylor Swift album's coming out on Friday. So
that's huge for you, man.
Big for me, big for my world. But yeah, that's about
it. Are your daughters like absolutely stoked?
Oh yeah, it's like we got countdowns. Like it's like we got right now it's Well, we got like one day. And technically,
are you gonna have like a listening party with them?
Probably not. So like it kind of the way they do it, like on Spotify, like it's Eastern time. So like it drops at midnight on Friday, but that's like 11 p.m. Central time or something like that. So it's like they will probably listen to it the night before, like Thursday night, tomorrow night. I probably won't listen to it until the next day.
Man, you remember when you used to have to go to like CD warehouse?
Yeah. I remember like when you had to, yeah, you had to go on like. Now it's what's crazy is now like she doesn't want. Whenever she like she, we have Spotify, so we can stream anything, but she wants like physical media because she's that age, you know, where they want like, so for Christmas, I bought her a record player because she wanted a record player. Now she just wants vinyls. Like she doesn't, there's no CDs or anything like that. Like she wants vinyls of all these albums. It's like for her birthday, her sister bought her, when I say her sister bought her, the Olivia Rodrigo, the newest album on vinyl. And she has like Taylor Swift albums on vinyl. So that's, and she wants the new one, like on a record. So it's like, it's all like cyclical, like going back to like we have like vinyl pressings of albums. So that's where we're at.
That's where you're at.
I had a book, like a big old like Trapper Keeper looking thing of like CDs, like pages and pages of CDs.
Oh, dude. Yeah, we all did.
And like now it's like I had. They don't make cars of CD players anymore.
Do you know what my what the first thing I ever bought with my first like paycheck, my first job? That I had, I got a paycheck. The first thing I ever bought, Matt, was an external CD burner. And it was like $150. And it took 30 minutes to burn a single CD. Yeah. But I could burn CD. And like this was when it was like the new hotness.
Yeah.
It was a new, and you know, I was like, oh, I'm getting me one of them. And that summer I bought an external CD burner, man.
Yeah.
Windows now, Media Player days.
Yeah.
Ripping CDs, making mix CDs for the girl you like.
Don't you remember, like, I don't know if you remember this, but like
recording off the radio on a cassette tape.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I did that for sure.
Yeah.
But like, we had my first car, had it was, you know, wasn't new. It was probably about several years old, but there's no like CD player. Is it had,
right?
Had
you see, tape, you use the tape. The tape, well,
had
thing.
The tape, yeah, the adapter plugged into like a portable CD player.
You had to have all the anti-shock though, because yeah, if you went over any bumps, the CD would skip. I had a friend, Matt, that was a super engineer kid, right? Ended up going to school for engineering. This is what he did. His car didn't have a CD player at that time, which was super common.
Yeah.
He like took out his radio and like rebuilt it to where it had a bracket, like a metal bracket in his dashboard. That was his CD player.
And he slotted it in.
He bought like however many hundreds of dollars he spent for it, but it was like the max anti-shock that you could get. Like it was like the bee's knees of Walkmans or Discmans, sorry, yeah. That you could buy. And he had it like implanted in his car so that he basically like turned his stereo into a CD player.
I mean,
but it used the tape thing. He like kept the tape deck in there.
These kids don't know how good they have it these days, because like prior to CDs, it was like cassettes, and then they would get all wound up. And you have to like get the pencil and like, I got to wind this tape back into the cassette.
You know and what they miss? They're really missing out on from the cassette and CD days is the CD and cassette sleeves that you could pull out and read the lyrics.
Well, they don't really miss that because you have like Genius or whatever that has like the lyrics and you can just read them on.
I guess that's fair.
But what they are missing is like,
how do you think I learned all the words to all the Newsboys songs? Like, if it wasn't for the sleeves inside the cassette tapes.
Newsboys, goodness gracious.
Isabella, Isabella dancer with a clip. Yeah, I still remember that. I still remember that whole song.
But
I'll forget things for work, but that's, you know, Take Me to Your Leader by the Newsboys is staunchly in there.
That's what someone asked me because like they were talking about going to karaoke, right? And I was like, I can only really sing Metallica songs at karaoke because those are the only ones I know, like every single word of every song.
Well, you know, they show you the words at karaoke.
Well, right? I know, but like you have to be confident. You can't be reading. You got to be like, I know what's happening. Because the first time I did karaoke, I was in San Antonio, Texas. And I was like, I don't know what to sing. And the DJ was like, pick something you know by heart. And I was like, all right. So I picked Seek and Destroy by Metallica. Because that's I knew that by heart. So that's my go-to.
Fair enough, fair enough. But the kids do have it better than we did, though, because, again, they can just listen to it at, like, the moment it comes out. They don't have to wait till the next day to get mom to drive you to Best Buy.
Just talking about physical media, like, my mom would buy, like, VHS and then DVDs of, like, movies we love and keep them, like, physical media. And there is a big thing about, like, I don't know if they make physical media like they used to. Where you can have
You can still buy DVDs because I own some. I have like a really cool, nice TV, and so like I will buy the Ultra HD discs because they generally have better fidelity and higher quality than streaming. I do have
you can watch it anytime if you have the physical media, and like streaming, you could go away at any moment.
Yeah. So, like, for example, like, I have the Dark Knight trilogy on disc. I have the Lord of the Rings on disc. I have Harry Potter on disc.
I have one thing on disc. Can you guess what I have on disc?
Star Wars. Oh, yeah. I also have Star Wars on UHD.
The original Star Wars trilogy I have on Blu-ray.
Yeah, yeah. So, I have all of those physical media. For sure, because like when it's like, hey, I want to watch this, like, okay, I have the best possible representation that I can put on my television.
Somewhere I gotta find like the original.
You can't
pre-90s. I know. I have to find somewhere.
They don't exist anymore. No, I believe they don't exist. You would have to. The only way that you can do it is you would have to find somebody that was selling a VHS of it. And by what Matt's talking about, if you're not aware, because we have the same Star Wars brand, is he means the original Star Wars trilogy.
Yes.
Meaning A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, but pre-90s remaster.
Yeah, the 97 remaster.
So in 97, they remastered the films, re-released them in theaters. They went in and added a bunch of new CGI stuff into it and even added a couple of scenes to the movies. They changed
Han shot first.
Yeah, they made Greedo shoot first. They changed that. And
added Jabba in that crazy scene.
Oh, yeah, they added Jabba.
Whenever
there's like random animals in the background.
Oh, yeah, but, like when they're passing through and they're going to the checkpoint, you have these like random like
animals. Yeah, like giraffe things.
Looking for the droids. Like they're on some like animals and it's not in the original. Like, yeah, they added a bunch of like CGI stuff.
Yeah, and so if you want, and I think like for some reason, like the originals are just lost at that point. And so they do not. Whenever you see Star Wars on TV, whenever you stream it, or if you were to go buy a DVD of it today, it's the 97 remaster.
97. It's not 77.
So if you want that one, you have to go find a VHS because there's no DVDs of them.
No,
because so you would have to go find a VHS of the old of that was bought before 97 is what you'd have to do. But let me see. I bet you they charge a premium for that. Like it's got to be on eBay. So let's say pre 97, and this is great for this media format, is me Googling things.
Yeah.
Star Wars VHS for the people. You can get the original version from 1995, the trilogy on Amazon right now, which is actually the box set that I had as a kid, the exact one, for $64.95. And I had like this actual box set. I'm pretty sure we bought it at Target.
Yeah,
it's like, then you'd have to buy a VCR.
Yeah,
but dude, could you imagine? Like, so I have an 85-inch TV. Could you imagine me plugging a VCR into that thing?
So you can get a Star Wars on eBay, 1977 original, for $75.
What is it? A Betamax or is it a VHS?
It says a VHS, Fox Rare Vintage Movie. It's the New Hope, but it's labeled just Star Wars because it's the 77 VHS, which they didn't have VHS in 77, but it's the 77 version. Oh no, here's one $150, like in packaging. $150. Star Wars. From 1970.
Yeah, this one that I'm looking at is definitely used. Like, there's the box on the outside has got like scuffs on it and stuff.
So yeah, this is what you have to find is you have to find like a vintage, like 1977. Or I guess if you found like a box set that was all three of them, but that'd be, you have to go like back to probably like 1985 or something to get like all three films.
Now I want to go. It's been so long since I watched the pre-97 ones. I need to find a way to make this happen.
Look at this. CBS Fox five-star collection, Star Wars and Empire from 1984, $1,200.
Oh, there you go, man.
That's only for two. That's not even with Empire. That's just the first two. But they have free shipping, so there you go.
There you go. Well, Matt, it has been a blast of 150th episode. We got Star Wars talk in.
Got what we're watching in. And yeah. So
here's to the next 150.
Next 150, absolutely.
Philip's gonna have to deal with us a bit longer.
Yes, for sure. But as always, Joe. Sick 'em Bears.
Sick 'em Bears, Matt.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.